Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com.
It's good to be back at Life Point. I've been here a few times. I think two times ago, it was right after COVID, and I felt like I was on my deathbed. I remember just like sweating, like I literally was in bed for 3 weeks, and then that at the end of that 3 weeks, I came, and I didn't know if I'd be able to come. And I think I've been one other time since then, but every time I come, Pastor Lane has always asked me to talk about evangelism, because that's my passion. I've got a calling as an evangelist, not as a pastor of a lead church. I've served on, you know, staff at churches as one of the pastors, but not lead pastor. My calling really is evangelism. So I've been traveling the nation, traveling the world for the last 24 years, spreading the gospel that way. So I love preaching on evangelism. I love teaching on evangelism. I guess you could say today is on evangelism because our focal passage is going to be the Great Commission. But we're going to look at it from a little different angle of where the Great Commission begins. And so we're going to see this foundation this morning, or this sequential timeline of making disciples. So that's really the overarching idea this morning, is what does it look like to be a disciple that makes disciple, again, looking at the foundation. When I started working for the Missouri Baptist Convention a few years ago, I did some research and came to the realization, it was kind of sad in a way, that over 50% of our churches in our state have plateaued or are in decline. I don't think that's the case here at Life Point. I think it's much different. There's a lot of churches I go into that are thriving, they're growing, but I also go to a lot of churches that are in that 50% that have plateaued or are in decline, and the question is why? I think this decline in the church today is not due to the lack of good programs, nice buildings, polished worship services. Lots of churches have yearly events. I don't think that's the problem, or marketing, or a lack of resources, or trendy strategies. So again, I ask the question, why is the church in North America falling short of the Great Commission? When we think of relational evangelism and discipleship, really what we refer to as disciple-making, our go-to passage is what? It's Matthew 28, and a lot of times when we quote Matthew 28, the Great Commission, we quote 19 and 20, which makes sense. You know, it starts out with go and what? Make disciples. But we really need to back up a little bit when we talk about the Great Commission. You'll hear me say this two or three times today, that it needs to start with verse 18. These were some of Jesus' last words before his crucifixion. But we must remember that the great call of Christ isn't go. It is what? It is to follow. The great commandment of Christ isn't make disciples. It's to love the Lord our God with all. And then only then are we ready to live in obedience to the Great Commission of Christ. Our framework for following Christ is upward. It's first upward, and then inward, and then comes the doing, the outward. You know, we're constantly being encouraged to do for Christ, but we may have forgotten the importance of what? Of abiding in Christ. The doing for Christ should be a natural byproduct of the abiding. So, together, we will see this biblical perspective of what a disciple is, and yes, what a disciple does. We will look at the foundation for making disciples and where it really begins and where we need to go for true transformation. So, let's jump in. The first thing we're going to look at this morning is His great call. And we find his great call in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. So as we take a closer look at fulfilling the Great Commission and where it really begins, we begin with the upward call of God in Christ. With his great call, In the book of Matthew, we see this, again, this sequential timeline of disciple-making. So it has to start with Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, where Jesus says what? It's very short, very powerful. There's a lot in this short verse. He says, come. These are Jesus' words. Come, follow me, and I'll do what? I will make you. What's he going to make us into? Fishers of men. We see in Matthew 4:19 where Jesus came to the first men that were called to be his disciples, right? It was Peter and Andrew, and then later came James and John. And what we recognize about these men, yes, they were fishermen. They were ordinary men, but they were invited into this relationship with the rabbi of all rabbis, Jesus Christ. Yes, into a relationship with him, but it was also to go on mission. They were unassuming, and in the world's eyes, they were probably the least qualified. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm that guy. Like if I had been there 2,000 years ago, I probably would have been fishers of fish, right? Ordinary. And do you consider yourself ordinary this morning? Yeah? There should be a lot of yeses, hopefully. And here's the cool thing. This is what blows my mind, is that God wants to take ordinary people like you and me, and he wants to do what? He wants to do the extraordinary. Because God, when God takes ordinary people to do the extraordinary, you know what happens? God gets the glory for everything that takes place. Very awesome in that way. So we have this invitation. Have you said yes to the invitation? Yes, into a relationship. Has there been a point and time in your life where you have been born again? When you've accepted him? Yes? You were blind spiritually. You surrendered your life to him, and you went from being blind to being able to see. Man, being in darkness and stepping into the light. Has there been that moment where you've said yes to salvation? If so, if that's the case, you know what should come natural out of that saying yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ? We should also be on mission with him, saying yes to the mission of Jesus. You know, God doesn't need us when it comes to the advancement of the gospel. He doesn't need us. But what's cool is he chooses to use us, right? So he could do this thing any way that he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. He's God. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. That's pretty mind-blowing to me. Have you said yes to the relationship? Have you said yes to the mission of Christ? When Jesus calls us to follow him, what does he do? He makes us fishers of men. We see this picture of disciple-making both as a noun, who we are, but also, yes, as a verb, what we do. This is the relationship that you and I have been invited into, both in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others. A disciple, and we should be not just a disciple, but a disciple maker. Therefore, the definition must include an upward relationship to Christ. We've talked about that. But an inward change by a work of the Holy Spirit, by a work of Christ. And then out of that, an outward obedience to the will of Christ. Upward, inward, and then outward. This is the framework for following Christ. So as you can see, this involves every aspect of our lives, which is exactly how we are called to follow. Matthew 4:19 gives us his great call. But then what comes next? It's Matthew chapter 22. We have also not only his great call, but we have his great commandment and the extent of that call. Matthew 22, 37 through 39 says this, very familiar passage to all of us. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Say it with me, heart, soul, mind, and then in Mark it says, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then the second is like it. Love your what? Neighbor as yourself. Missional living, and that's what we're talking about here this morning. Missional living mandates action. However, it is vital that the Great Commission begins not with the actions of men, but with the accomplished work of Christ. Therefore, we see the need to emphasize the importance of living in loving devotion to the work and reign of Christ by showing how our obedience to the Great Commission comes out of the obedience to the Great Command. It's easy for us to get focused on what we are called to do. Man, I'm a doer. I like doing. I don't slow down too much, but you know, God every once in a while reminds me, you need to be still, as it says in Psalm 46:10. You just need to be still and know that I am God, right? We need to slow down every once in a while and just spend time with Him. But we get so focused on the doing that we forget the why. It's important for us to remember that the first and greatest commandment isn't go, but to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our mind, and all of our strength. In other words, it's not on doing things for Christ, but in loving submission to Him and what He has done. Amen? So the first is His great call. Then we have in this timeline, in this foundation, we have His great command. And you know what that leads us to? Should lead us to? Should lead us to what? His great commission. His great commission. And so now we come to Matthew 28, again, 18 through 20. His great call and His great command then leads us to the doing, living in obedience to His great commission, the mission of what? Of disciple making. So let me go ahead and read it to you, again, including verse 18, as I've stressed here this morning, the importance of that. Starting in verse 18, it says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Those are Jesus' words. Then He says this, "Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the ends of the age." Again, going back, I know I'm repeating myself, but it's worth repeating, talking about this foundation of disciple making. Matthew 4:19 again gives us His great call to follow Him and fish for men. Matthew 22:36-39 gives us His great commandment and the extent of that call. And then, in obedience to His call, His commandment, a heart devoted to His great commission, which is Matthew, again, 28. So, what is the mission? The Great Commission is our Lord Jesus' mandate to the church to make disciples that make disciples. And when you take a closer look at the Great Commission, we see four main principles that gives us a very clear picture of the doing. So let's look at those four principles. Number one, it begins with engaging people that are without Christ. Let's look at verses 18 and 19 specifically, and in 19, we'll look at the very first part of 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples." The first two principles are found in these two or one and a half verses, I should say. But here's what we need to do. When we talk about engaging people without Christ, what are we talking about? We're talking about building relationships with those that are probably outside these walls. Yes, we build relationships in here. This is iron sharpens iron. We need to be around other believers. We need to be connected to a church, have that church community. But we also need to build relationships with people that do not yet know Christ. And you know what? A lot of times that does take real intentionality. We need to look for connection points. Connection points. Things that we have in common with people. And yes, it may be a job. Of course, it starts with our family, right? Our immediate family, then our extended family. But outside of our family, we have neighbors that we're to build relationships with. It takes time. It takes commitment to do that. The people that we work with, we work for or that we work with, if you work outside of the home, that is. And then everywhere else that we go, right? We are to build relationships and to be intentional. What's the first thing that you think about when you meet someone? Is it what they're wearing or what they do for a living or what their background is? Those are all important things in building relationships, learning different things about people. But the first thing that should come to our mind when we meet someone is, I wonder if they know Jesus. Man, I wonder if they've said yes. I wonder if they have that relationship with Christ. And it's really all about learning their story, right? Learning their background, looking where they're at. But you look for those connection points. I'm into mountain biking and road biking, and there's a big community of bikers in the Springfield area, and I'm real intentional about it's not just because I love bikes. I mean, I love the aspect of building relationships with people that I have something in common with. But what I do is I pray for opportunities. I pray for those divine appointments to be able to find out where they're at spiritually, and then hopefully and prayerfully, as the Lord leads, share the good news. And that leads us to the second principle, and that is evangelizing people to Christ. So we build these relationships, we're engaging with people, and it has to go further than our actions. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm kind of an introvert, and I really don't know much about this or that, and I've not been through training, I've not been equipped in that way, so I just let my life speak. That's great. I mean, God in and through us, he does want, you know, to him to be glorified, to him to be lifted up. There is an importance, it's really important for people to see a difference in our lives. And when people look at our lives, by the way, I don't think they're expecting us to be perfect, but what they are looking for is they're looking for something real. They're looking for something that's authentic. They're looking for something that's different. So as we build those relationships, we're engaging with people, there needs to be a point, and we need to pray about those divine appointments. Even though I'm an evangelist, I'm not one that you know, forces it. The gospel of salvation, but I just pray for people, and then I'm just trying to be discerning and look for those opportunities to share the gospel. But again, going back to that idea of learning their story, learning their background, kind of figuring out where they're at spiritually, what their belief system is, and then look for an opportunity to share your story, and you may ask for permission to do that, right? Hey, can I share my, I've kind of learned where you're at spiritually, can I share my story with you? And then ultimately, whose story do we want to tell? We want to tell his story. We want to share the gospel, but again, it takes intentionality in not only building relationships, not only engaging, but we do need to evangelize. That leads us to the third principle. Once we've led someone to Christ, our job is not done. I mean, it's always the job of the Holy Spirit, don't get me wrong. But like, we need to continue walking alongside that person. It's super important. The guy who led me to Christ lives in Texas. So, and of course, that was over 30 years ago, and we didn't have Zoom and FaceTime and all that. Do we even have cell phones? I'm not sure. It's probably a bag phone. I'm not sure. But anyway, so we didn't have the technology back then. He went back to Texas, and he didn't really like give me a whole lot. I'm grateful that he shared the gospel with me. I'm grateful that he led me to the Lord. But I didn't have a lot of direction. I didn't know what the next steps were. And to be honest with you, for the next 3 years, I didn't have any man come alongside me and really disciple me. And I just kind of floundered, you know, there for a while. But when we lead someone to Christ, and that kind of motivates me to disciple people. And even as an evangelist, I can't say as an evangelist, well, my gifting is sharing the gospel, and then it's someone else's gifting to come alongside them and disciple that person. So when I get the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, my job is not done. It's to continue to walk with that person. If they live in Springfield, that is, it'd be difficult if they live elsewhere, even though we do have the technology to do that today. But an ideal scenario is to be face-to-face and live life with the people that you are engaging with, that you're sharing the gospel with. But it continues helping that person. This brings us to the third principle, and it's establishing people in Christ. The second part of verse 19 says, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that there needs to be scriptural baptism. There needs to be that obedience. But there's also this idea when it talks about baptism, there's an identification with Christ. How have we been identified with him? Well, we've been identified with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what baptism is all about. But then there's this growing, this sanctification process that needs to happen of us growing into the likeness, growing and realizing our identity in Christ. And we need to help new believers do that, to grow in their identity. But it's also something else. It's helping them get connected to a community of believers. New culture, new community. Remember what I said about my story? I kind of floundered for about 3 years because I didn't have that person to come alongside me and say, well, here's the steps, and here's how you study the Bible, and here's how you grow, and hey, let me take you with me and get you connected to other believers. That didn't happen. Kind of floundered for a while. And so when I disciple someone, there's the pre-discipleship, building the relationship, sharing the gospel, leading them to Christ. But then you continue helping that person get connected to other believers and grow in their identity to Christ. And then the fourth principle we see in this is equipping people in the commission of what? Of them doing the exact same thing. Going out and engaging with people, evangelizing people, helping them get established, new community, new culture. And that's what's been going on for 2,000 years. When I started working for the Missouri Baptist Convention, 5, 6 years ago, I had a lot of people, no kidding, I had a lot of people that would walk in and say, well, man, here's a book that I read on discipleship and disciple making and evangelism. Lots and lots of books, and they're great. I mean, I think we should be educated. I think we should read books. But you know, the cool thing is that God gave us a model 2,000 years ago that works. Have you ever thought about why you're sitting here today? You're here today because it started with the disciples, right? Started with Peter and Andrew, James and John, and then the other disciples. Matter of fact, it says in Acts chapter 17 that Jesus, God through them, God was able to turn the world upside down. But what they did was they followed Jesus. They were discipled. And then he said, go and you make disciples. And guess what they did? They went and made disciples. And those disciples made disciples. And those disciples made disciples. And of course, we know it's God doing it, but they were being obedient to the call and the command and the commission. And here we are in the 21st century. And we're here today because it started with Jesus calling the first disciples. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of Jesus? I heard one amen. If you are a disciple of Jesus, we've been invited into a relationship. We've also been invited into his mission of making disciples. Out of all the people, and I will say this, be honest with you, I spend a lot of time with guys, you know, get up in the morning super early. I'm not a morning person, but I've gotten up lots of mornings where I go and meet at a coffee shop. It's one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three. And out of all the guys that I've discipled, I don't know how many it's been a lot, but out of all the people that I've been in that process with, probably can count on one hand of how many guys like actually got this whole thing of what we're talking about, the call, the command, the commission, where they went out and they actually made disciples that's making disciples. So I said all that to say this, it takes time, it takes commitment. It takes sacrifices, and there's a lot of times you get really, really frustrated. First of all, I've got a mess of my own, and then what you do is when you're discipling people, you get to step into their messes, so that's not an easy thing to do. But let me end with this. Not only do we have his call, not only do we have his command, we have his commission, the doing, but you know what else is really important for us to know and remember? We also have his great covenant, his great covenant in this whole thing. So, what we've been talking about this morning, it may seem a little overwhelming, right? When you think about the opportunity, I'll put it that way, the opportunity that God gives us. It may seem a little overwhelming or intimidating, but understand this, the results of fulfilling the Great Commission does not rest on our shoulders. Isn't that good news? Isn't that awesome? Behind his call, his command, his commission is his great covenant, Christ's covenant. It's his promise to us. Let me bring you back to two verses in the Great Commission again, Matthew 28, 18, and then I'll reread 20. He has all authority. He has all authority in heaven. He's the one that starts it. And then guess who is the one that continues it? Through the process and to the very end, we have this promise that he who has all authority in heaven and earth says, behold, I am with you. I am with you from the beginning all the way through to completion. I think about Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, he who began a good work will continue it, right, to completion. Isn't that good news that we have this promise from the Lord? This means that he is the one that is leading and holding this mission together. The Great Commission doesn't begin, again, I've said this, but I'll say it again, it doesn't begin with the actions of men, but with the accomplished work of Christ. He is to be the great and foremost focus of our lives, and then in loving submission to him comes a heart that is devoted to the evangelizing and the discipling of others. Our response is to worship him, to submit to him, to trust him, and follow him. Again, for he who says, I am with you always, says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Does this make sense? Let's pray.